Now, you may think you're immune to being hypnotized, fully in control of your decisions. But are you, or have you been manipulated your entire life without ever realizing it? Philip Bugeaud studies decision-making here at Cambridge University.
Yeah, so actually, I thought I'd give you an example of how easy you are to manipulate. So I'll ask you a quick question, which is a very famous question. Daniel Kahneman and Amos Tversky, who won the Nobel Prize in like 2003 in economics, did this test. And so I'll ask you two sets of questions. Let's say we have 600 people that are infected with a specific disease, and I give you the choice of two programs that you can apply to try and save a few people. So if program A, you know for a fact that about 200 people will be saved. Program B, with one-third probability, everyone will survive, everyone will be saved, but then two-thirds probability, no one will be saved. Hmm. Which one would you pick, program A or program B?
A, I think, yeah.
Yes, so that's what most people would pick. So you pick the safe option. So you try to save 200 people for sure. If I ask the question a bit differently and instead basically give you two programs that are about dying instead of saving. So we say program C, 400 people will die for sure. Or program D, there's a one-third probability that no one will die or two-third probability that everyone will die.
That's trickier. D sounds better in that one, but... They're the same.
Yeah, so you follow basically the average. So most people, if you present an option as a gain, would go with the riskless option. So you go for the sure option, so saving 200 people. But here, 400 people will die for sure. It's considered a loss. And people tend to be a lot more risk-seeking when it comes to losses. So you prefer testing chance. And so you can imagine this kind of question, when you ask this a million times to different people, people have different patterns, but everyone seems to follow this type of behavior.
Does this mean governments can use this to try and change our behavior?
Yeah, so these kinds of tests have actually started a whole new subfield of science called behavioral sciences. Within this, we have behavioral insights, which are different choice biases that we can use to try and modify people's behavior. And most of this is actually for good. So I don't want to scare everyone. It's also been happening most of your lives. We're just aware of it now. But sometimes it's not as good. And so with the advent of data science, there's a lot of different things you can do. And a lot of corporations, shops, companies are using that to maximize profit. But then on the other hand, you have governments that are really trying to use that to try and make society better, if you want, according to the government, that is.
Okay, hit me with some examples then.
Some examples? Well, actually, I was talking to a group in Canada, my home country. So the Behavioral Insights Group in British Columbia were asking a question recently, which was, how do you reduce the rate of human-caused wildfires, for example? You've probably heard about California last year, very difficult. So that's a really good question. And you don't want to force people to stop making fires. You just want to try and nudge them, which we call, to try and reduce this risk. So they were asking a bunch of different questions, and it seems like low-cost messaging, which is just reminding people, texting people about it, seems to influence their decision. And so what you want to do is still leave the decision there for people, so they still have the same choices. But the way you ask the choice is basically biasing the choice one way or another. So that's a great example. Another one that we probably all experience is on Netflix. When you're watching TV on any streaming device, really, when they start playing the next episode automatically, this is a huge framing effect, because if you had to choose, that's a little gain. So you're choosing to watch the next episode, you're winning. But if you have to stop the next episode automatically, that's a loss. So it's a lot harder for people, and just keep watching, you binge watch. And that's a very good example of what's happening.
And what about sort of out and about in the street? So there are things there that we might come across on a daily basis?
Yeah, so actually in London, there's a very good example, and that would be the buttons you have to press to cross the intersection. A lot of these, actually in a lot of major cities, don't do anything. They give you the impression of control, which gives people the idea that, oh, they've pressed, so they will wait. But most of the time, they don't actually do anything. Now, in most villages or smaller towns, they actually have some matter of importance, but you can try next time you're in London, in New York. A lot of these things don't do anything.
We've been tricked. So what does that mean? It makes us less likely to just run across the road because
exactly.
We think we've done something.
So it reduces jaywalking. And there's another great example that would target men specifically. If you've been to a urinal recently where you saw a bee or a fly in the urinal, that's people taking advantage of your psyche, really, to make you aim there so that you don't have spillover.
Making it fun, I guess,
exactly.
As well. Is there a way to, shield yourself from this kind of stuff?
So unfortunately, like a lot of behavioral effects, you can't really shield yourself. So this takes advantage of how our brain is wired. So we're very, very efficient at being flexible. That's a key trait of humans. But all this flexibility comes at a price, and it's that we take a lot of shortcuts in our decision-making. And a lot of what we do is going to be subjective, so relative. So I was talking about games and losses earlier. A lot of this will be based off what you're seeing in your direct environment. So what's considered a win right now might be a loss tomorrow. And so that's a key symptom, if you want, of our flexibility, of our humanness. But unfortunately, it also makes us very risk-prone for these kinds of behaviors.
Oh dear, so we're very basic, very easy to manipulate. Thank you very much, Philippe Bougeot from Cambridge University. Cheers for joining us.
Thank you.